This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for joining us. We're your hosts. My name is Marcy Davis, and my co-host is my amazing service dog, Fenway. And we're thrilled to be with you today to talk about our favorite subject, working dogs and working animals. And today, we are welcoming Steve Morris to the show. And Steve is a director of the United States Government Accountability Office's Natural Resource and Environment Team. And Steve, he directs work related to agriculture and food safety. And we're going to visit with him today about some articles and reports that have been released regarding the number of dogs who actually have government jobs, and also how federal agencies are addressing these dogs on health and welfare. So come right back after these quick messages as we welcome Steve Morris to the show.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Hello, Steve, and welcome.
Hi, Marcy. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, well, we're so excited. I've been seeing all these reports coming out and just so excited to talk with you about the work that you and your office have been doing. So first of all, Steve, tell us, how many dogs have government jobs?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there's a lot of dogs working for the government, Marcy. There's probably about just over 5,100 or so.
Wow. Wow. And what kind of jobs are they doing, Steve?
Well, they're doing a lot of jobs, Marcy. I mean, most of them are, you know, working and detecting explosive and narcotics, but they have other roles as well. Some of them are used for patrols. Some of them are used by the Department of Agriculture to sniff out products that might be harmful to our agricultural products.
Yeah. Well, and are there other animals besides dogs that are employed?
Well, we just looked at working dogs, Marcy.
Okay, good. Well, I know that, you know, there used to be a lot of research animals, and that has been changing over the years as we've become more humane. So I'm glad that you really focused on dogs. That's awesome. And did you look at dogs also that do contract work?
Yeah, we did. So there's kind of three levels to this, Marcy. So the bulk of it is dogs working directly for federal agencies and their programs. And then there's about 400 plus dogs that are working for contractors, basically. So they're working, you know, in concert with the government, but managed under a contract. And then there's also about 1,000 dogs that work for the State Department. And these would be dogs that would be provided to foreign governments for their use.
Well, this seems like such a mammoth undertaking if there are over 5,000 dogs. Well, first of all, how did you decide to even do a report on them, Steve? What sparked your interest?
Absolutely, Marcy. So, you know, we work for the Congress. So Congress asked us to take a look at the use of working dogs throughout the government. And essentially, we looked at the number of dogs, their roles, and also looked at to the extent that these federal agencies and programs had policies in place to ensure their health and welfare.
Yeah, I have to say, Steve, when I read the report the federal agencies need to better address health and welfare. That was sobering to really, you know, because I think of service dogs, you know, that's my experience. So I think of them as these amazing Olympic athletes and want to make sure that they have the best food, the best vet care, the best everything. But it was really interesting what you discovered, that that's not always the case for these working dogs.
Yeah, absolutely, Marcy. And, you know, in looking at the government's efforts here, what really struck us early on is that, you know, there's not really a universal standard for the health and welfare of these animals, right? So what ends up happening is you have kind of a variation out there. So some government programs and agencies may be doing one thing, others may be doing something else. And so what we ended up doing, Marcy, is taking a look at what were the pretty much the foundational areas of health and welfare, right? So we consulted with the agencies. They worked closely with us. We met with some outside experts and associations like the American Veterinary Medical Association and came up with this list of 19 areas or issues, as we call them. Now, these aren't exhaustive, but we think it's a pretty comprehensive list, and we think it's really foundational to ensure the health and welfare of these animals.
That's awesome. Tell us more about those 19 areas that you identified.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, in consultation with the agencies and outside experts, we came up with this list of 18. And I'll kind of run through these quickly with you, Marcy. But
please.
These things would cover issues like abuse and neglect, right? How to identify a report and investigate those types of things. Issues like emergency medical care, right? Issues related to euthanasia, for example, and what would the policies be surrounding that? The how, when, and why kind of situations. Basic care, exercise, food and water, grooming, housing, medical needs, medications, rest, transportation, sanitation, et cetera. So a very, very comprehensive list of areas.
Yeah. And those are all the things that we think of as the basic necessities for care and quality of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell us, so who's going to implement these standards? What's being done to create them and to implement them?
Yeah, absolutely, Marcy. So what we ended up doing is once we identify these areas, we pretty much, you know, match that list against the agency's policies and programs themselves. So we want to identify, you know, where are the gaps. And so we did that for a multitude of programs. And we found that, you know, a lot of times some of these programs don't really cover the 18 areas. Some, you know, the good news is some programs did, but the bad news is a lot didn't. So we ended up recommending that all the agencies we identified, that they ensure that in their policies and their contract standards and requirements that they have something to address each of these areas in their various programs.
Yeah, yeah. And so how will that be enforced, Steve?
Again, this is kind of a good news story, Marcy. So we make recommendations specifically to the agencies themselves that have programs. And the good news is that they all essentially agreed that this is a good recommendation, and they've identified various steps they're taking to address it. And some of the agencies are, in fact, you know, pretty far along in terms of implementing the recommendation we made. The other good news here is that Congress actually picked up on the recommendation we made, and they want to institutionalize it in law. So at this point, there's some drafted legislation that basically instructs the federal government to implement the recommendation we made. And there's been some legislation in the House that's passed, and it's awaiting action in the Senate. So again, really good news on that front.
That is good news. And can you tell us who in Congress is leading this effort and being our champions for working dogs?
Yeah, well, there's several, but on the Senate side, so there was an introduction from Senator Sinema from Arizona. So she's leading the charge in the Senate.
Okay. And she's not running for re-election, right?
I believe that she is not running for re-election, correct?
Yeah. So do you think it'll pass before her term is up?
We'll have to see, Marcy. But there's other champions
that are
interested in sponsoring the legislation itself. So I think this has a lot of traction. I would say, no pun intended, but I think this has legs. So we'll see.
Hope it has four legs. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so important. I know when the politics gets into it, and sometimes when they're the best of intentions, all of those factors come into play. Yeah, so I'm curious, who are some of the other champions? Do you know, Steve?
Yeah, I don't have them offhand, Marcy. But I guess the point here is, regardless of whether legislation is passed, that the agencies are accountable for implementing the recommendation. So it's not like we make a recommendation and they're off the hook. They have to address it in some form or fashion. And again, going back to the good news is, when they saw the recommendations for the first time and responded to the report, they basically concurred, yes, we agree, this is important. So
That's great.
they're on the hook to do something.
That's good. That's good. And the reason I ask is because I know our listeners are going to want to be following this legislation to make sure that it does get the support that it needs and gets passed, because we're also passionate about that quality of care for working dogs. They do so much for us that that's the bare
Absolutely.
minimum we can do for them, is to make sure that they are taken good care of and have all the things that they need in their lifespan.
Absolutely, Marcina. It's a great point, because I mean, there's two parts to this, right? I mean, just from a humanitarian perspective, it's like we have to ensure that we're treating the animals we use in a very, in a very good way, right? Make sure they have everything they need. But the other part of it is like you mentioned, they perform a lot of important jobs, right? And we want to make sure that those animals are performing at the most optimal level they can.
Exactly, because they're in some of the most stressful situations. So thinking about that, and I've looked at a lot, and we've had guests on the show that have talked about stress in working dogs and how to manage it and to make sure that they have a longer working life. But it does take a lot of coordination and effort and awareness to make sure that that is happening.
Absolutely.
Well, we are going to take just a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsors who we love. And we'll come right back and continue visiting with Steve and learning more about this important report and information that his office has gathered. So come right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're visiting today with Steve Morris from the United States Government Accountability Office, talking about the wonderful study that he has done. And Steve, tell us a little bit more about what you have really found from this study, because it's a big study. It's like almost 100 pages. So tell us more what you found.
Yeah, Marcy, absolutely. There's a lot of great, figures and charts in that report. But I think one of the primary findings, Marcy, was that when we took a look at those 18 areas I mentioned that were important, we bumped that up against what the agencies were themselves doing in their policies. And, in some cases, the agencies covered most of those areas. In other cases, they didn't. So, some of the program policies addressed, all 18 issues, which is great, right? But we found that most don't. And just to give an example, about half of the programs we looked at did not address issues related, for example, to abuse and neglect. About half didn't look at requirements for rest time for the animals, as well as, how long the animals should actually be working. So, those are pretty glaring examples. And similarly, those programs that were managed by contractors, a lot of them didn't address abuse and neglect either. And they also didn't address, important issues like, what do you do with these animals when they retire? Or in cases where they get ill, what should be the protocol for any euthanasia decisions, for example? So, we thought that these were really important, and that's why we made the recommendation that all these areas should be covered.
Yeah, I have to say, Steve, I'm really surprised. You know, these are all the topics that have been discussed in the service dog industry for decades. And so I'm really surprised that the government didn't have, when I think of the US government, you know, I'm surprised that they didn't have some of those things in contracts already or in agreements. It's surprising to me.
Yeah, exactly, Marcy. And I think, you know, part of kind of our job in looking at this was to make sure those things were specified. Because a lot of times you'll find kind of general language and there's almost an implication or assumption that these things are covered when they're not.
Right.
So we just wanted to make sure that it's spelled out clearly.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. These are all such really important topics to make sure that are being enforced. Yeah, and that there is accountability for these animals because, as you said, they're doing some really important jobs. Yeah, and I think which department actually has the most working dogs? Was it the State Department that I read?
Yeah, actually, it's the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of
Okay.
Defense. Between the two of them, that they probably have close to 90% of all the working dogs. And so when you
Wow.
look at a specific agency like the Transportation Security Administration, they have over 1,000 dogs working at airports and other venues. So they're the biggest player right now.
Wow. And are they purchasing these dogs from outside training organizations?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, for example, it varies, Marcy, but for example, like the Department of Defense, you know, they'll get the majority of their dogs, maybe 85, 90% of their dogs from breeders in Germany, right? Or in the Netherlands, you know, working dogs from those areas. Other agencies procure their dogs from, you know, breeders in the US and Europe.
Yeah, so the government is not breeding and training these dogs. I guess that's really my question.
In some cases, they are like the military at Lackland Air Force Base has a very significant breeding and training program, and we were fortunate to visit. I visited that facility years ago, and it's pretty amazing the what those dogs go through in terms of training and their kind of relationship with their handlers.
Yeah, that's a special bond. Well, and I'm so glad that you've engaged outside agencies and experts. Like I think you mentioned the American Veterans Medical Association.
Yes.
Yeah, who else did you engage?
Other industry stakeholders and associations, one that deals with working dogs, police dogs, and there were several others as well. And part of the reason we did that, Marcy, is just to reach as much consensus as possible. Because when you know, when you do these types of reviews, a lot of times you get different perspectives. But on this one, we reach pretty good consensus out there in terms of here are the important areas. So when you have that type of buy-in and agreement, it really is beneficial.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And did you have them set up as like an advisory group, or was it just individuals that you reached out to?
Yeah, it was more just speaking to, you know, various representatives of these associations, just to kind of make sure that, you know, we want to make sure we weren't off base, right? So we wanted to get, you know, different people's perspectives on these things. And again, the great news was that there was consensus.
Yeah, that's great. It's always so beneficial to engage stakeholders. Yeah, and to get their support as you're doing this, because this was a big undertaking. How long did it take you to do it?
Yeah, this is a big report. I mean, it took close to 2 years from beginning to end. But again, we covered, I think it was 40 plus programs across the government, various numbers of contracted programs as well. So, I mean, it was a comprehensive look throughout the entire government.
Yeah. Well, that's impressive that you were able to do it in 2 years. That's pretty fast, considering all the information that you had to gather that hadn't been gathered before.
Absolutely. This was, I think, the first time anyone really took a wide lens look at this issue, Marcy.
And do you have any follow-up studies planned?
We don't have any specific studies planned, but what we do is one of the important things I think we do is follow up on the recommendations. So we'll basically reach out to the agencies that we directed the recommendations to and just get progress reports in terms of how they're doing.
Yeah, is that what the plan is for enforcement, or is there another government agency that will take on that responsibility, maybe as part of the law?
No, it's essentially us. You know, we go back once we make the recommendations, we periodically take a look to see, you know, how the agencies are doing and just track progress that way.
Were the recommendations, those 18 areas that you listed, were there more recommendations besides those?
That was kind of the umbrella recommendation, Marcy. So it was essentially anyone with a working dog program needs to look at these 18 areas and make sure that it's in their policies and requirements and standards.
And do you foresee that agencies will add additional working dogs? And is there a process for that? If there's somebody that, for example, with facility dogs that are becoming so prevalent in different areas, or other new dogs, I'm always amazed that I feel like it's the tip of the iceberg as to how dogs can help us. So if they want to add new working dog programs, is there a process for that, Steve?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marcy. And again, the good news here is our recommendation covers existing and new programs. So if the government plans on adding any additional working dog programs, this recommendation would apply to that as well.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's great. Like I said, because I can only imagine in the future what other working dogs can be added as government employees, and maybe you'll have more than over 5,000.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and when you mentioned the retirement practices, is there anything that you saw in the study about, because I get this question all the time from our listeners, they want to adopt a dog that's going to be retired. Is that something that the government considers as a possibility, or if the handler doesn't or isn't able to adopt the retiring dog?
Yeah, Marcy, that's a great question. You know, we did take a look at that. And again, the policy varies depending on which program, but you know, in some cases, handlers can adopt their dogs when they retire, which is a great thing. In other cases, they're put up for adoption and the public can, submit their applications to adopt these animals. The one thing we did see is that it's very important that the person adopting the animal and the dog is a proper match, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want necessarily a dog trained in patrol and biting and that sort of thing to be adopted by a family with young children necessarily, right? So you just want to make sure that the match is a good fit.
Right, for both of them.
For both of them, exactly. And so, you know, we had some examples. We identified some examples where maybe that match wasn't a perfect fit. So again, these policies would ensure that things like that are taken care of.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because these dogs have had full lives. Yep, and they've had lots of experiences, both good and bad. So absolutely, the retirement pieces is so important as we look at the rest of their life and honor their life. So I'm so glad that you're doing that. I'm so glad that you did the study and that you gathered all of this wonderful information. And I want to ask you, Steve, before you leave us, because I know you're so busy, how can our listeners get more information about the study and about government working dogs and just your office in general?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the first thing is just go to the GAO website and you'll find a plethora of information about kind of who we are and what we do and a link to the report. And from that, there's additional information as well. So I think that would be the first starting point, Marcy.
Okay, awesome. And we will put that on our page so that our listeners can access it. Are you on social media, Steve, your office?
Yes, we're on Twitter and YouTube and a couple others. So we can be reached in that way as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, Steve, thank you so much for the incredible work that you did on this study. Like I said, 2 years is really impressive that you were able to gather all of this information and put it into such an informative report. It's really impressive. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Marcy. It was great talking to you today.
You too. And you'll have to come back and keep us posted in the future, and especially if you guys do other reports and as your working dog team grows.
Absolutely. We'd love to.
Thank you so much. And thank you for being with us today. We'd love for you to join us. And you know that we love hearing from you. So please keep your emails coming. And you know that you can reach me at Marcy, M-A-R-C-I-E. @petliferadio.com. Thanks so much and take good care.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.